I don't know what this poor stool will do without me. If you saw the bulletin today, the lesson that I have planned for this evening is simply entitled, What is Truth? The passage that is taken from is, of course, a very, very familiar one to us. As the Son of God is on trial for his very life in front of Pontius Pilate. And in the conversation that they had, recorded for us in John chapter 18, in verse 37, Pilate says, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Well, that's a perennial question that has been asked since the dawn of civilization. What is truth? Today, many people sound a lot like Pilate. A Barnea research group survey on what Americans believe asks this question. Is there absolute truth? 66% of the adults responded that they believe, quote, there is no such thing as absolute truth. Different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. Would you want to go to a doctor who believed that? See, people think in one world and live in another. That's the problem. 72% of those between the age of 18 and 25 express this belief. In a series of more than 20 interviews conducted at random at a large university, people were asked if there was such a thing as absolute truth. That is, truth that is true across all times and cultures for all people. All but one of the 20 responded along these lines. One, truth is whatever you believe. Two, there is no absolute truth. Well, isn't that an absolute statement? Duh. Thirdly, if there is such a thing as absolute truth, how can we know what it is? Now, here's an interesting comment. People who believe in absolute truth are dangerous. That probably gets about 100% of us Christians. Well, what is the Christian perspective regarding truth? Is truth what you believe? Can we know what is absolute truth? Well, there are two basic views regarding truth. Number one, truth corresponds to reality. This is commonly called the correspondence view of truth. In other words, a statement is true if and only if it corresponds to or agrees with factual reality. I want to share with you at this time three of the fundamental laws of thought that we all use every day. We may not know what they are, but we use them. And they're really common sense laws. First of all, there's the law of identity. for things, it is if a thing has a certain property, then it has it. If this ballpoint pen has all the properties of being a ballpoint pen, then guess what? It's a ballpoint pen. Now, how hard is that? Yet you find a lot of people who would disagree with that. For propositions, if a proposition is true, then it is true for all persons in all times and in all places. We accept that. At least most people do. The law says, in effect, that if a proposition is true for one person, then it is true for another person. It's impossible for a proposition to be true for one person and false for another. Yet that's a commonly held belief. I think that is absolutely crazy. Anything is itself. Now, how difficult is that to understand? Yet you would have some philosophers try to argue against the case. I like James Bales' definition of philosopher. A philosopher is someone who's searching for a black cat in a dark cellar. Or a philosopher is one who throws dirt in the air and complains because he can't see. So here we have the first law of thought. Anything is itself. You are either a human being or you're not a human being. Okay? Now, there is a second law that is very important. And we use it all the time. We may not recognize it, but we use it. It's called the law of excluded middle. Think of that term, excluded middle. In other words, this is saying there's no middle ground somewhere. For things, if anything has a certain property or it does not have that property, this means that for everything is either human or non-human. Everything is either black or not black. Anything possesses a certain property or it doesn't possess a certain property. For propositions, it says that every precisely stated proposition is either true or false because there's no middle ground between the two. Let me give you an example. Baptism in water is necessary for the forgiveness of past sins. That is a precisely stated proposition. That is either true or false. It cannot be both true and false. And we could list other similar propositions. Then there is, thirdly, the law of contradiction. Now, I think most of us know what a contradiction is. But for things, the law of contradiction is that nothing can have both have and not have a given characteristic or property. For example, nothing can be black all over and not black all over at once and at the same time. Well, yeah. Sure. A lot of people don't believe that. For proposition, no precisely stated proposition can be both true and false in the same respect. It is false to say that John is the son of Jim and that John is not the son of Jim in the same respects. If one affirms both the propositions, all apples are red, and the proposition, some apples are not red, then he's affirmed a logical contradiction. Every logical contradiction is false. Every one of them. The statement that I am sitting in front of you is either true or false. It can't be both. Now, we use these three fundamental laws of thought every day. We depend upon others using these fundamental laws of thought. Every day of our lives, we depend upon them. So the correspondence view of truth holds that proposition or declarative statements are subject to both verification and falsification. So a statement can be proven false if it's been shown to disagree with objective reality. Let me give you an example. The world is flat. Do you know there's a flat earth society? I believe Kyrie Irving, the famous basketball player, is a believer in the flat earth. Huh? What about on an ocean when you see a ship coming over the horizon, you see the top of it before you see anything else? Now, that was a prevalent view 1,000 years ago or more. People were afraid if you sailed out on the ocean too far, you'd fall off the edge. But we have proven now that the earth is not flat. It's spherical. It can't be both. So, truth corresponds to reality. It is absolute for you, for me, for all times. If it's a true statement, it's true for you, it's true for me, it's true for all times, in all places, under all circumstances, if it's precisely stated. Now, the commonly held view, and the survey kind of shows that's the case, is that truth is relative, not absolute. So, what is true, we are told, depends upon the views of the person or the culture, not whether the statements correspond to objective reality. For a statement to be true simply means that a person or a culture believes it's true. People with this view say things like this, and you may have heard people say this, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. Really? Do you want your doctor to believe in that? Do you want your pharmacist to believe in that? Well, this medicine, one medicine is just as good as another. I can give that. Really? Or another view that expresses it, we can't judge other cultures. I mentioned this morning that one passage of Scripture that every atheist seems to know is, judge not that you be not judged, but he doesn't know the rest of the story either because he hadn't read his Bible. Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The poet Steve Turner wrote a parody of this attitude and called it Creed. And in part, it said this. Now listen carefully to this. I believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. Reality will adapt accordingly. The universe will readjust. History will alter. And then here's the statement that just fries your mind. I believe that there is no absolute truth, excepting the truth that there is no absolute truth. What kind of nonsense is that? Where did he learn that, for example? That there's only one absolute truth, namely, there isn't any absolute truth. He just said there is an absolute truth, and there's no absolute truth. How contradictory can you get? And yet, this is what a lot of people believe. At least they say they do. But they don't live in that world. They really don't. When truth is dependent upon the person or the culture holding the belief, anything can become true. I'll give you an example from religion. One person can say, Jesus is Lord. And another person can say, Allah is Lord. Now, both statements will be true if they actually express the sentiments of the speaker. Well, that view tends to advance tolerance and civility, but it does so at the expense of logic. The very definition of the word Lord precludes the possibility that they both are Lord. Oh, you have to be tolerant. Not of contradictions, I don't have to be tolerant. Our Lord wasn't tolerant of such nonsense. The Lord was the greatest logician that ever lived on the face of the earth. People tried all kinds of arguments against him, and with logic that was ungetoverable, as Brother G.K. Wallace used to say, he took care of it. Those who say that there is no absolute truth make decisions every day based on things they believe are true or false. For example, they turn on a light believing in the reality of electricity. They drive a car believing in the effectiveness of the engine. No one flying would want to be directed by a navigator who did not believe in the truth of his instruments. No one undergoing brain surgery would want to be operated on by a surgeon who did not believe that some things about the brain were true and some not true. And then here's something to think about. If there are no absolutes, then there is no right and wrong. I can kill you. I can steal from you. I can lie to you, and you can't say I'm wrong. If it's true for me, then it's true for me. Gee, didn't somebody like Hitler believe in something like that? That led us into World War II, didn't it? And yet those same people who advocate that would not agree with me pointing a gun at him and say, hey, I don't like you and I can kill you and I shouldn't be held accountable for it because it's true for me. Now that shows you how ridiculous this whole thing is. I could say that because if I believe I should do such things and succeed, then it works for me and it has become my personal truth, and who are you to judge me? Like I say, people say those things, but they don't want to live in that society. They don't want to be treated unfair. Even the atheist doesn't want to be treated unfairly. Because if I do, he says, that's not fair. By what standard are you saying that's not fair? I think it is fair for me to mistreat you. After all, truth is relative, not absolute. Richard John Neuhaus said, in the absence of truth, power is the only game in town. And despite its absurdity, this view of truth has become the darling of all who want to be free to do their own things. And we hear things like that, and we see people act like that all the time. Except when it happens to them. Well, what is the biblical view of truth? Well, there are three words in the original language that are translated into English by the word truth. One of these words means unconcealed, manifest, actual, true to fact. A second of these words denotes true in the sense of what's real, ideal, genuine. The third word, objectively signifying the reality lying at the basis of appearance, the manifested veritable essence of a matter. Subjectively, truthfulness, truth, not merely verbal, but sincerity and integrity of character. You know, when the Bible speaks of truth, when Jesus spoke of truth, it describes that which corresponds to reality, what was factual and absolute, not relative. When Pilate said, what is truth? Truth in its ultimate reality was standing right in front of him. You know, that may have been one of the reasons why Pilate said, I don't find any fault in him. Three times he said that. His wife even said, have nothing to do with this just man. There are biblical statements regarding truth. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is He. A God of truth. Four chapters before John chapter 18, when Jesus was in the upper room with His disciples. In chapter 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Now that statement is either true or not true. In John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him not, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be with you. The Spirit of truth. In John 16 and verse 13, to those men there, those apostles, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Again, in John chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer of Jesus, in John 17 and verse 17, He said, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. And what He left us is truth. The most important truth for you and me, right here. It's absolute, not relative. We are told that the judgments of God are according to truth. In Psalm 96, in verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. When we stand before the God of heaven, we will be judged by the truth. Paul in Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, talking about the sinful Gentile world, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And you can read Romans 1 to find out what those things were. As Christians, we should walk in the truth as revealed by Jesus, including the standard of morality that He taught us. I call your attention to Ephesians chapter 4, for example. I want to begin with verse 17, Ephesians 4. For I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walked, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have learned Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. That's our pattern. That's who we follow. That kind of truth. Then I remind you again, the Apostle Paul writing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses. Oh boy, what a statement. A lot of people need to come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And then in that same epistle, and this was the last one that Paul wrote before he was put to death, as he's writing to the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And these are very familiar words to us. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. I think that's what's on the front of this pulpit, is it not? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Why, Paul? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. That's an interesting expression. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. We can always find somebody to agree with us. And that's what Paul is saying here. If you want to find somebody who agrees with you in some of these matters, you can do it, and they're out there in the world today. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Sometimes we Christians are accused of turning from the truth and believing in myth. No, they've got it wrong. It's the other way around. They're the ones that believe in myths and not the truth. Now, there are a lot of other things I guess we could say about this, but I think that's enough for tonight anyway. I hope we can think about some of these matters, because we're going to run into people who believe in some of the things we talked about, especially truth not being absolute but relative. We're going to hear this all the time. And yet, they don't want to really live in a world where that is absolutely true. And they don't. It just sounds good. It's what the in crowd says, or whoever that is. It's what's on a lot of social media. Do your own thing. Don't let anybody tell you how to live your life. If you want to do it, do it. If it feels good, do it. Well, it felt good for Hitler to murder 6 million Jews. I guess he was right in doing it, wasn't he? Truth is what is real. And God is real and reveals what is real. God is truth, and what he says is the truth. Call yourself what you may, but you can't be a Christian unless you believe that truth is absolute. That you believe in moral absolutes of right and wrong. And that you will accept Jesus and his word as the absolute source of truth, especially in regards to morality and salvation. That's just the way it is. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you have that opportunity to obey the truth, to follow him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. Now that's an absolute truth, and there is just no getting around it. Only the Son of God could make a statement like that. If a mere man made a statement like that, he'd be accused of being crazy. But Jesus was the Son of God. He was the embodiment of truth, the epitome of truth. He could make that statement because it was true. And he invites us to share that truth with him. You need to obey the gospel tonight. Believe in him as the truth. Repent of your sins and confess his name before men. Submit to him in the watery grave of baptism. Be raised to walk in newness of life. And walk in the truth for as long as you live. because it is the truth that will eventually lead you to heaven itself. If you need to respond, come now while we stand together and sing.
Have my affections been dealt to the